Good afternoon. The Audible is on the air. We're going to be with you here for about a half an hour talking Miami Dolphins and taking your questions. If you want to get questions, you can send them in via Twitter. Just go hashtag The Audible. We'll get your questions. We'll get them on there. You can watch us on Facebook moving forward. You can also catch us on MiamiDolphins.com. I'm joined by number 29 cornerback Sam Madison. Sam, great to have you back here again.
Yeah, man. Glad to be back with you.
All right. I don't know if you're, you know, some of you guys aren't from Florida. Those of us that are in Florida, we're in the cone of destruction for the for Hurricane Matthew.
Yeah.
So it's you got all your preparations done, Sam?
Yeah,
all ready
man.
To go?
I'm ready to go, man. I have three little ones.
This is a tale of two cities, right? Here. Sam's got everything done already. Me, done nothing. Absolutely nothing. I like to roll the dice a little bit when he's
But you have good neighbors, though. That's the best part about it.
I have a good neighbor's guy. I got a neighbor that's got a generator. I can plug in there. You know, I got my furniture. If need be, I'll just push it into the pool.
That's it.
You know, I go that route with it.
Yeah, man. You know, for me, I had to be prepared, man, with the little kids.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, because I was moving a little slow, I did my preparations a week ahead of time. So, you know, when you talk about these hurricanes come, you never know what's really going to happen.
Yeah,
come on, man. You should already know.
Especially you got the kids at home. No, believe me. When I had the kids at home, I had everything. I had the windows boarded up. Now it's just, I'm like, ah, the heck with it, you know.
I'll
hide under the bed if I've got to do that. Meanwhile, the Dolphins, well, they need to ride something through this weekend. Big game against the Tennessee Titans. And Sam, this is an opportunity. They got four home games in 5 weeks after seemingly being on the road since the season began. One home game in the preseason. We had the last home game against the Cleveland Browns. Here are the Tennessee Titans coming to town. And the Dolphins really need to make hay right now. They need to make up some ground over this next four-game span right in their backyard.
Yeah, definitely. When you talk about that those games they had on the road up in Seattle, tough place to play. Yep. In New England, a tough place to play. And even in Cincinnati, when you look at those three games on the road, really tough positions to put the Dolphins in throughout the beginning of the season. But right now, no time in history have you had four home games in your own stadium back-to-back. So it's going to be fun for the Dolphins, but an opportunity to get back into this race. Because when you look at the next five in itself, they're all AFC games.
Yep.
Even after that fifth game after the bye week, it's still an AFC game. So it's a situation that the Dolphins are going to be able to learn from it, have an opportunity to be able to grow. Because all of these football games, you look at the Seattle, had an opportunity to win that game. You know, the New England game, they got off really, really fast, but we fought our way back, still had a chance to really win it. And then, you know, Thursday night, quick turnaround, a lot of injuries. It was really tough to always turn around and win a game like that. But right now, it's really going to put these guys in a position to see exactly how mental tough they really are and what they can do at this home stretch.
And Sam, what they've got to do, they need to figure out a way to get this offense going. They've got to get that defense off the field. Way too many plays. At one point during that game on Thursday night, Cincinnati had 60 offensive plays, the Dolphins 30 offensive plays. Two for 11 on third downs. I think in the first half they had three first downs. Just can't get anything generated offensively. Adam Gase talked this week about maybe, you know, toning it down, just going with one back instead of, you know, rotating those four guys in there. And I'm all for that.
Right.
I'm not only all for that, but I'm all for looking at the young guys, giving them opportunities to grow with this football team. Whether it's Kenyon Drake, whether it's Tony Lippett, whoever it is out there, these young guys that are going to be part of the future of this football team, give them the reps, give them the feel for this game so that you can make a good evaluation on them as the season goes along. So I'm kind of looking at that a little bit for this football team, but they've got to find a way to get first downs because, people are asking about Adam Gase's offense. Well, you really haven't been able to see that offense in its entirety because they really haven't been able to get things going, you know, on a consecutive basis throughout a football game. Talk about New England. Did nothing in the first half, did a lot in the second half. It's the best we've seen of the offense. And then what we saw Thursday night, it's just not going to do.
Yeah, just not going to do. And I like the big play coming from Kenny Stills. You know, you had the big drop the first game that could have opened that game up. But when you're talking about the offense getting started fast, not only do they need to get started fast for themselves, but like you talked about in that last game against Cincinnati, 60 plays or 30 plays, the defense is going to get worn out. And one of the things that we talked about going into that game was defense not being able to stop the run. Cincinnati is a very good run football team, and we was able to bottle those guys up. So it helped us out a little bit, but when you have to go out there on a regular basis, you're eventually going to get tired. So, you know, Coach Gase, he's really trying to find those playmakers who he can depend on. Yep. on a regular basis and get guys in a flow and in a rhythm. When you talk about using four backs over the last couple of weeks, you know, nobody can really get a good lather and understand the flow of the game and get into what you call that zone all of a sudden. So now I think he's going to look at going with one back and then coming in with a third down, change the pace back, and hopefully we'll be able to find that guy that we really can ride the wave with over the next course of the game. But this, everybody on this team need to be on high alert because now when you look at these guys and we're putting them in the position, I don't care if it's Tony Lippert, I don't care if it's Kenyon Drake or Jay Ajayi, whoever it is, you have to step up and make those plays when the coaches put you in those positions to make them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's give you some news from the day. Mike Pouncey is back. He's practiced this week. In fact, let me give you the injury report here if I can get to it here. These phones, you know, you always got to get the, well, you always got to put a password in the phone every time now. And Apple, you know what they keep? They kept bothering me about updating my phone, and then they just did it themselves, and now I can't figure it out. But anyway, so here's the injury report from today. Brandon Albert, ankle illness. He missed today's practice with illness. Didn't participate on Wednesday. Jordan Cameron out with a concussion. Didn't participate on Wednesday. Brandon Albert, though, I believe they're expecting him to be ready and play on Sunday. Arian Foster, hamstring limited. I would doubt that he's going to play on Sunday. I think they want to make sure, and as well they should, that he's completely healed up before they send him back out there and possibly face another injury. You know how it is with those hamstrings. You fast guys know all about those hamstrings. Here's the one that concerns me. Xavien Howard, knee injury, didn't practice. Yeah. There's a good chance he may not play on Sunday. That means Byron Maxwell gets another opportunity to get back in there and show that he belongs in there. And, Sam, sometimes you need a little – you know, you need a slap in the face to kind of wake yourselves up and get you back. And hopefully this is an opportunity to see the Byron Maxwell that this football team expected when they made a trade with Philadelphia to get him here.
Yeah, with Xavien Howard, if he's not in there, you know, very disappointing, you know, because he didn't get many reps in the preseason. But what we've seen from him, he finally started to get his legs up under him. We saw him getting a lot closer to a lot of balls, getting in there, making some pass breakups, making some really good tackle. But here's the other thing. If we get Byron Maxwell, this is really going to let us know, Bo, what type of player that he really is. Yeah. Is this a guy that we really can depend on later on down the season and be able to come in there and be that starter or eventually come in and be the third down guy as well? Because we're going to see a lot of teams going three wides, four wides. Bobby McCain has been doing really, really good. But step up as a veteran. Because when you go to different teams, you bring guys in, really what you really want to bring those guys in to be that veteran leadership and to show the young guys how to do it. Because when you look at Bobby McCain, you look at Tony Lippett, you look at Xavien Howard, these are really young guys, and they look up to the veterans to be able to teach them how to get this stuff done. So looking for Byron Maxwell to step up in that veteran role, no matter if you're going to be starting or if you're not going to be starting. You've been there. You won a Super Bowl. You made a little bit of money. Now show these guys how to be a professional and how to carry on in the National Football League.
All right. You're listening to the Audible. You're watching the Audible. I'm not sure if it's working. I got a lot of technicians back here behind me. I'm going to be generous and call them technicians because they don't certainly don't look like technicians back there. So I don't know if we're working, but if we're working, we're up. If we're on Periscope, you can go ahead and send your questions in. Just hashtag the Audible. We'll go ahead and get those questions and go through here. You can catch us on MiamiDolphins.com. You can catch the archives on the Miami Dolphins Facebook page as well as the MiamiDolphins.com. So if you want to catch up and get it there, if you want to get some questions in, again, just hashtag the Audible. All right, the Jelani Jenkins didn't practice groin. Not sure what his situation. Koemisi practices a limited basis with a neck injury. Like to see him back out on the football field. But Pouncey back is Pouncey's a big – big plus for this team coming back.
Definitely a big plus, you know, because he's very versatile. Remember, this is a guy that can snap the ball, not only be able to snap the ball, be able to pull and get out in front of the running back and make some key blocks down the football field. But yet still having a guy that understands and knows what you're going to get from him every single time. And now it solidifies everybody else and make the offensive line more comfortable. Yes, Steen and all the other guys, they did really, really good while they were in there. But having Mike Pouncey, a Pro Bowl center, a perennial Pro Bowler, it really solidifies that offensive line and make everybody else out there a little bit more confident in the things that they're able to do. Even with Adam Gase, play calling. Now you'll be able to understand the blitzes, how these guys come in, and he's going to make the correct adjustment get everybody in position to make the right block. And now hopefully we'll be able to see the ball being forced down the football field and making some big plays. But having Mike Pouncey back is huge. Yeah. And he's ready. He's anxious to get out there and really show the things that he's able to do and how he can help this offense go forward.
Sam, you touched on something a little bit earlier. You talked about veteran players helping rookies, helping young players to learn how to play the game. And I can remember sitting back there, excuse me, sitting over there watching you guys. And when you came in, when Pat came in, Pat Surtain, Terrell Buckley was there.
Yep.
And I'd watch you guys. Every time you'd come off the field, you'd walk over and get together with Terrell. And it was like a little bit of a learning session there. And you guys all had input. How important was that to you in the early stages of your career when you first came to the Dolphins? You along with Patrick.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was 1 year ahead of Patrick. I came in 97. Mm-hmm. He came in 98. So, you know, we were right there rookies together. But, you know, having Terrell that first year as well as a guy like Corey Harris and George Teague, you know, what it did.
Brock Marion,
all of those guys. Veteran, what it did, it really helped me as a player to say, okay, they're helping me. I'm not coming in here trying to take their job. Yeah. Really where, you know, coaches are bringing you in there to eventually take their job. But guess what? Everybody was on the same page of trying to win football games. And that was the one thing. I was like, okay, I'm coming over here to the sideline. He's helping me. He's working with me and all the different things that I'm able to do. Let me go out here and give my best effort every single play, every single down. So even when I do go out there, if it's only a nickel, that they can depend on me. We've talked through every single thing, and that's how you get that confidence. And yet and still, when you have a veteran coming in, guys that's been in the league a number of years, you have guys coming from college. Yep. Guess what? They play these video games all the time. Yep. So they see you making these plays. They see you in the NFL. Now there's like, what type of person really he is, you know? And now you have him right there at your fingerprint. And now you just want to deliver all the information that you have because, hey, you can't take it with you. When you're gone, you're gone, boom.
How much fun was it with you three guys? You guys always used to have a good time. T-Buck, you and Pat. That was a pretty fun group to be around.
Man, it was awesome, man. Everybody had their own little identities. You know Terrell Buckley. He's going to take chances all the time. He's going to jump routes. Yep. You know, I was the mouth of the South. I was always running my mouth, getting everybody into some type of trouble. And Pat was one of those sponges. He just absorbed everything. Yep. He absorbed the things that I was able to do, you know, not being the fastest as well as Terrell, but I was more of a technician. Mm-hmm. But yet and still, he saw the playmaking ability of Terrell being able to jump those routes, understanding routes. Concepts, because you got to remember, Pat was just coming in on third down for four straight years because Terrell and I was a starter, so he was able to sit there and absorb all of that. But yet and still, we always communicated, because you never knew at the snap of a dime you was going to be in there, and we wanted you to be on the same page. That's why we always worked with one another and make sure that everybody was on the same page.
Yep, you're listening to the Audible here. You're watching it. Kim Bocamp or Sam Madison with you. You can go ahead and check us out on Twitter, Periscope. You can go to hashtag the Audible. Go ahead and send your questions in. You can catch us on the Miami Dolphins Facebook page. Moving on forward here, they've got a little beef with me, Sam. Facebook, they don't want nothing to do with me, so we're working that out. I think I might have to shell some cash to keep them on there, but you can also catch us on MiamiDolphins.com. Check us out there, but any questions, go ahead and send them to through your Twitter account, through the Periscope, hashtag the Audible. Sam, it's funny how things have changed in the league, because I was very much the same as you. When I first came into the league, the guy that I was going to take eventually took his job was probably the guy that helped me the most in the league. Same with you and T-Buck and Patrick. But it seems different now only because, you know, it's become a three-year league.
Yeah.
Sign a contract, come in for 3 years, you move on, 2 years, come in, move. And so I don't know that there's that security with some of these players to say, I'm going to help this guy out. Because if I help this guy out now, you know, man, I may be out sooner than I thought. It just seems to be, I think, look, it has nothing to do with the players.
Right.
To me, it all has to do with collective bargaining agreement, free agency, and the way this league is run right now, or the way the league is set up for these guys. It makes it difficult to have that same kind of what I would call nurturing that you had back then.
And it goes back to the money bowl that they're throwing at these players now. Now it's all about, you know, what can I get?
Don't cry poor to me now, Sam. No, Sam.
But it's totally different.
Don't cry poor to me now.
But it's totally different, even when I was out there.
Yeah, okay.
And now it's like everybody is trying to really get what they can out of each team, and knowing that you're still going to have opportunity to go to another team and even get more, because it's guaranteed majority of the time now. We have never seen anything like this, you know, when we was coming up, but these guys, they're coming in, they're going to try to do as much as they can to try to make sure that their agent have the film, the footage that they have, have, and the agents, yeah. even the agents. Before, Bo, you know, when we talk about as a player, you know, here in Miami, listen, I'm solidified here in Miami.
Yeah.
I love the players that I'm playing with. I love the coaching. My agent, listen, I want to stay here yeah. in Miami.
Do everything you can
do to keep me here. Yeah. But now the agent is looking and seeing that they can make money yeah. and move a kid from here and move him out west or move him to the north. And the agents are really one putting these things into these players' head. Just go out there. Don't get hurt.
Yep.
You know, do what you can. Make a couple plays, and I'm get you paid. And now it's just really tough to be able to keep guys in one place yep. Unless he's just a complete baller. And now you really have no choice but to pay him the money that yep. he really needs. And that's the only reason why, you know, you see those teams that's in the hunt all the time yep. because they keep them there yep. and they have opportunity to groom them and nurture them.
Keep their base guys.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Hey, you're watching the Audible here. Kim Bocamp or Sam Madison with you. You can check us out going forward on Facebook, Miami Dolphins Facebook page. You can check us out on MiamiDolphins.com. You can also catch us on Periscope. You can also send your questions in via Periscope. Just hashtag the Audible when you go through there, and we'll go ahead and get the job done. Okay, Twitter, how are the rumors that the Dolphins are looking to trade for Jay Cutler? And this all goes back to Ryan Tannehill and the unrest with the fans out there with what Ryan Tannehill's doing. You know, Sam, you've talked to coaches. I've talked to coaches. You know, I don't think the coaches are as ready to jump off the Tannehill bandwagon as a lot of these other – as a lot of the fans are out there. Look, some of their criticism, you know, I can understand that.
Right.
Some of it, to me – is a little bit off the wall. I think Ryan's done some good things. I think there's things he can continue to improve on. But, man, trying to make a change in the middle of the season is very, very difficult in this game right now.
For anybody that's trying to say, hey, let's make a trade, let's get bring somebody else in, you can forget about it. Ryan Tannehill is not going anywhere yep. for the 2016 season. I'm looking at Coach Gase. He's going to do everything in his power to get the most out of Ryan Tannehill. And there's still some to gain right, yep. right there, Bo. Yes, we're a little bit frustrated not stepping up in the pocket at times. When there's a window, you're very athletic, yep. being able to run. But guess what, guys? You're still talking about a brand new offensive system. You're still talking about wide receivers getting into their rhythm. Still talking about the offensive line like we just talked about. Yep. Mike Pouncey, your perennial all-pro,
he hasn't played
a game yet for this guy, for Coach Gase. So Coach Gase is going to stick with Ryan Tannehill as long as he can stand on both legs and he's able to throw the ball. Yep. And he's still, what, no running game.
Yep.
Don't even know who's going to be the starting running back from week to week. A lot of different things. So everybody that's on that train that's trying to get rid of Ryan Tannehill, believe me, he's not going anywhere this year. And Coach Gase is going to try to get the maximum out of him because that's what he's known to do. And hopefully we can get him on the same page.
And this comes via Twitter. Yo, go get AJ McCarron. You know, it amazes me how – look.
What has he done?
What is he going to do? What is he going to do coming in six games in? To turn the tides of this football team, I think people got to understand out there. You know, you've got 53 horses you're riding here,
right?
And you're going to ride those horses away. The only way you're not going to ride those 53 in is when one gets hurt, and falls off,
and
then someone else comes up.
If he was that good, he'd be on somebody else's
team.
You're
darn right. What's the status on Arian Foster? Well, Arian Foster, I mentioned earlier, did practice today on a limited basis. I think the chances of him, Sam, playing this weekend, slim to none. I think that hamstring and the groin he's got, they want to get that thing healthy as much as they can before they put him out in the field. Because you know how it is, Sam. You've been in that situation. You got a hamstring or groin, something like that. It's close. All it takes is one, yeah. One explosive move to just get you right back to where you were 3 weeks ago, and they don't want that to happen.
And still, they still have these four of the backs that they really want to see what they can get out of. Kenyon Drake,
yep.
Damian Williams, Jay Ajayi, Pete is coming in. Yep. He's done some really good thing in the preseason. Who is going to be that back just in case something does happen to Arian Foster? Listen, we know and we've saw and Coach Gase have seen that Arian Foster is really, really good. And he can catch the ball. He's able to make his own running lanes mm-hmm. and when need be. If there's nothing there, I'd rather have him healthy for the stretch down the road. But I need to find who's going to be my main horse if Arian Foster does go down and we can't really utilize him. So I'm not going to rush Arian Foster back. That was Coach Gates. Let me see what these young guys can do. Then I can really make a decision. But hey, I want him back. I know what he can do out of the backfield. He's going to pick up blocks. He's going to pick up those blitzes. But yet still, I want him to be 100% when you put him back on the field.
Any chance they move Steen to one of the guard positions? This is another thing I don't understand. Steen did a great job at center when he was in there. He's hurt right now. But, you know, to me, if you move Steen into one of those guard positions, you're weakening whichever position you move him into. Laramie Tunsil's done a good job while he's been in there. You know, you look on Bushrod on the other side. I think he's done a very good job while he's done while he's been in there. And I wouldn't move either one of those guys for Anthony Steen. It's just not a move I would make. You know, you may like to, may want to do that, but I. Then here's one from Fins Up 2015. Pouncey is always hurt. Okay, what do you want to do then? Want to get rid of him? You want to not play him? You want to use somebody else? What do you want to do? Answer me. What do you want to do? You can go ahead and answer back.
Just in there.
Go ahead and answer back. What do you want to do? Yes, he's been hurt the last couple of years. He's ready to play now. Everybody's waiting for him to come back, evidently, except for you. But, you know, look, everyone gets hurt in this league. This is a league where you watch any game. Any game, and there are four or five guys, maybe more, they're going to be able to dragged
off the
field.
Who's the first guy to go off the board in fantasy football this year? Every year. Adrian Peterson.
I don't stick with that, you know.
But I'm just saying. No, and guess what?
He's out again.
He's hurt.
He's hurt again.
And guess what? So. Next year, guess who's going to be the first guy off the board?
Adrian Peterson. No doubt. Scott McCallum. At Scott McCallum says, Drake can catch it too. Why don't we throw to him? Well, I think they'll throw. You know, to me, it's one of those situations. And this goes back to the four-back system that the Dolphins have been running since the season began, where you're getting these guys and you're rotating them in. I don't think you can see the full impact of any one of these players until you keep them in there and let them play the duration of the game. Then you get a chance. Look, the problem with the Dolphins is, you know, they rarely have found themselves in situations where they had the upper hand on offense.
Right.
They're usually first and 15 after a procedure penalty, they're either second and 9, second and 10, second and 7, maybe. You know, they're not in great positions out there. They got to get in that position where it's run pass. Then I think whether it's Kenyon Drake, whether it's anybody else coming out of the backfield, till you can make them effective doing those types of things. So I think as the running game goes, that's how the offense goes, and you've got to get that running game established before you can start doing those types of things, especially with the backs outside throwing to them and doing some other things. We've tried to throw those short outside passes a number of times. What's everyone doing? They're jammed up at the line of scrimmage. They're not respecting anything downfield. And how many of those little bubble screens have we thrown where you get a one-yard gain, a two-yard gain, a two-yard loss? I mean, it doesn't come easy unless you can get things going. I agree with you with Drake can catch the ball. He's fast. He's elusive. I want to see a lot out of Kenyon Drake, and hopefully this week we do see it.
And the other part is he's a nightmare matchup for a linebacker. Yep. But here's the thing that over the last – since week one, because we haven't been able to run the ball successfully, all everybody's been doing is putting four guys at the line of scrimmage, and they were backing everybody else up deep and making Jarvis Landry catch the ball underneath, and they was protecting themselves versus Kenny Steele as well as the big guy going down the field in Devontae Parker. And they made him throw the ball underneath. So when you really want to see Kenyon Drake catch the ball, they're dumping the ball off to him, and now you have three or four guys corralling and coming up and making the tackle. You're absolutely correct. I really like his speed. I like his ability to be able to see and make plays. You know, we saw him get the ball, hit it up in there. He saw it outside, took it around the corner, and we really saw the speed. But when you can't get a consecutive play-to-play, meaning I can run the ball on first down and get 6-7 yards. Now I can make the defense think about what are they going to do. Are they going to run the ball? Are they going to pass the ball?
Yep.
Get them to start guessing. The opposing team really haven't had to make a guess.
You want to put football teams in – you know, you want to put the defense in a situation where now it's second and three, second and four, third and one, third and two. Then you can pull out your repertoire.
Right.
Then you can do all the things that you want to do out there and get the job done. But when you're faced with, you know, second and eight, second and 10, second and 15, the types of situations where we've been in more times than not, then it makes it very difficult. All right, from Twitter, If Howard isn't ready, how much confidence do the coaches have in Maxwell?
Well, they have no choice. I mean, really what it's really did when they benched him, guess what? It was a wake-up call. Because when we saw Byron Maxwell come in here and they made the trade, automatically when you come in as a veteran, he's like, okay, this is my spot. This is my job. Guess what? Everybody else is going to be behind me. Nope, that wasn't the case last week. You saw Coach Gase make a decision, put Tony Lippert in there. But guess what? This is a wake-up call for Byron Maxwell. If you don't go and you don't step up now, guess what? You may not have opportunity to play in this league again because everybody around the National Football League have seen this.
Yeah.
They've seen you go out there. They've seen you haven't played the best football, especially when you played in Seattle. And then now you lose your job to a wide receiver turned defensive back. Nobody's not really going to be looking at you. So this should be a wake-up call for Byron Maxwell and for anybody else on this football team to say, hey, I have to go out here and I have to get it done. So hopefully if we don't see Howard out there, I'm looking for Maxwell to have a really, really good game and a really good showing.
He's got the proverbial second chance, chance to get things done.
And this just usually don't happen.
Usually doesn't happen. And so he's got it. You're listening to the Audible, Kimbo Camper, Sam Madison here. You can go ahead and send your questions in via Twitter. Just hashtag the Audible. We'll go ahead and answer your questions as we go along. Another question here. When is Culliver available? I think Culliver's on that six-week injury reserve. So he'll be next after next week's game. Then the Dolphins will have to make a decision on Chris Culliver as to whether to move forward
really
or not.
Really good press corner. I really like him. He's aggressive at the line of scrimmage. That's what Vance Joseph really liked in his defensive scheme, to be able to press wide receivers. We saw him throughout the whole offseason. He was working, trying to get himself back. He looked like he was really getting strong. But it's just going to add and bring another really good defensive back to be able to help these guys. When they're in practice, you're going to have to work. Especially if you're not getting it in the game, Chris can come in and he definitely can get it done for Coach Vance Joseph.
Yeah, it's just he's got probably another week, and then, as we said, they'll make a decision. Now, if he's healthy, certainly with the situation in the defensive backfield, if he's healthy and ready to play, I would imagine they make that move and get him into the mix as soon as they possibly can. So if you're looking for him and he's healthy, he'll probably be out there soon. Dino Bazzo Jr., it's all about growing as a team. Excited to see how they react to a bad start. Well, they've had some bad starts throughout the course of the season. One thing that that they want to do each and every week, talk to Coach Gase about it. He wants to get off to a fast start. You want to get ahead of a football team. They were able to do that last week with a big catch by Kenny Stills. But then after that, they just couldn't get anything going. And Cincinnati just kind of picked at him and picked at him and picked at him. A field goal here, another, just kept racking him up. And that was the difference in the football team. I thought defensively they played pretty well. even against A.J. Green, as tough as he was, there were times I felt pretty good about the way Xavier Howard and Lippitt played. Not because they were making a lot of plays, but a guy saw two guys really battling against one of the best receivers in the National Football League out there. Look, he made his plays. I think he had, 166 yards, eight or nine receptions, 166 yards, and certainly not the way you want a guy to play against you. But I liked some of the things I saw about those two young corners out there.
Listen, little things, little small details, and after having an opportunity to hear Coach Gase talk about it as well as Coach Vance Joseph, but watching the film, it's just little small details that's really hurting the Miami Dolphins. And this is just young players. But they've had a couple of games to get under their belt so far. And hopefully they can make the adjustments. Because, Bo, this is the copycat league. Mm-hmm. All the things that they've already seen, guess what? They're going to see them again. So when you see these plays over and over again, and you've had opportunity to be able to go out there, understand how they're trying to attack you. And look at Vance Joseph. They're running screen plays. And guess what? He has a blitz coming right into it. Perfect call. Perfect situation. The guys just didn't go out there and make the play. Hopefully they'll be able to learn from those mistakes. And now when they do, because he's making some really good calls, the same exact thing with Coach Gase. He's making some really good calls. But because, like you talked about early, getting in long distances, and now you got to come up with something where everybody's getting pressure with the four, it's really hard to really make a play down the field. There's no real play for – third and 19. Yep. There's nothing really there. Hopefully you can get a miracle or something, but guess what? Everybody's going to make you get about 12 or 13, yep. and they're not going to let you get that 18.
You know, it's funny, Sam. I had the chance this weekend, which, you know, it's kind of rare during the football season for me, and talk to some of the coaches. They had the day off Sunday to sit back and watch some of these games, mm-hmm. and you realize how close all these games are. I mean, it seemed like every game I watched
yep.
was coming down to the you know, the last drive to see what was going to happen. So, you know, really all you got to do is you just got to stay in these games until mm-hmm. the end, but then you got to cash in that's in right. that fourth quarter when things happen. And that's what this football team has to do. They need to figure out a way to get to off a quick start, stay in the game, keep it tight, which is exactly the game plan they had up in Seattle and almost had that thing done had they made one defensive play. But those are the types of games this team has to play in, and they've got to learn how to make the plays at the end that give them the opportunity to win. Sam, pleasure having you with us
Thank
for the
you,
program
man.
Today.
Always.
It's the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. Now, just got the news. We won't be on the air on Friday because of the Hurricane Matthew that's in town. Anybody that's in the Florida area, if you're along the coast, or if you're anywhere in the path of Hurricane Andrew, take it seriously. Make sure you take care of your precautions. Make sure your family is safe. Make sure what you need, because if you've been through a hurricane, I'm going to tell you what, it's the real thing. If you haven't been, I'm going to tell you, it's the real thing.
Right.
You better get ready for them. So make sure you're safe. Make sure your family's safe. And hopefully you'll be hearing us on Monday when we get back after a win by the Miami Dolphins over the Tennessee Titans. Until the next time that we see you, stay safe. Have a good time. Stay dry. From Sam and me, we'll see you next time.